Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Good evening. Welcome to the Historical Approach to Depositing Music. Harrison Ridley Jr., your host, one more time. Yes, indeed. That was our theme song, Blue Horizon, Sidney Bechet. And that was recorded December 20th, 1944. On Blue Note Records, and it has been reissued.
For 30 years at 8 p.m. on Sunday evenings, that's what you've heard on WRTI. Today, however, we've got the man behind the music as our guest. Welcome to Crossover, Harrison Ridley Jr.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you are a very special person. I have in my the places that I go, I meet people who have listened to you for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. And they just will not miss your show. Oh. Your show is on Sunday evenings, and what's the time?
8 p.m. to 12 midnight, and I feature one or two artists and give a little historical tidbits while they play the music.
But you really love Duke Ellington, don't you?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite subjects, Duke Ellington, and after Duke is Dizzy Gillespie, and I like a lot of the arrangers and composers.
Now, a little bit about your background. You have been actually involved with teaching. You said 39 months.
Yes.
That's a lifetime.
Yeah, that's with the Philadelphia School District. And out of the 39 years, I taught 17 years at Parkway Gamma, the history of African-American music and also black history.
Now, you're teaching here at Temple. You have a course in both the graduate and undergraduate school, the African and African-American music. Tell me the difference between African and African-American music
The roots of African-American music is the ingredients from Africa. And we talk about the three basic characteristics in African music, which is the rhythm, call, and response, and also we have the improvisation.
Call and response, again, for our audience who doesn't really know that much about jazz. I mean, you know, we have jazz listeners, we have classical listeners, but again, call and response is?
Call and response is almost like a question and answer or a feedback. For instance, if I say that Billie Holiday is one of the most influential jazz vocalists, that's the call somebody in the audience might say, right on.
I see. So it's an audience participation.
Yes, and also participation among the musicians, especially, I shouldn't say especially, but big bands. You have the brass versus the reed section.
So they say the brass plays and then the reed answers them melodically.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
Or they support the soloist, whether it's a musician or a vocalist.
You have an example of that musically?
Yes, we can say Ella Fitzgerald with Duke's band.
Well, all I can tell you is it may be call and response, but it's great jazz.
Yes.
Now, you also you have an undergraduate course, the history of African-American music alone.
Right.
How old is that history? When did it start?
It goes all the way back to during slavery with the working plantation songs, and after that, the spirituals developed, and after that, the blues and the gospel.
Now, in Africa, there must have been music. I mean, there were slaves in Africa, and I'm wondering, did they have music in Africa?
Oh, definitely, yeah. The music was more, instead of being part of life, music was life. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. But what people have to understand is there's at least 50 for countries in the continent of Africa. I teach geography, too.
Yes.
and it varies. The music varies. So I always play the various kinds of music in Africa with my students, such as Yoruba music in Nigeria, Ghana.
There was European music, of course, when of course that was brought over, mm-hmm. when whatever was going on there was going on. I mean, of course you have music that starts tribally mm-hmm. with the beat. I mean,
the drum. Percussions, beat, and also, you had music, one of the oldest instruments is the flute. It goes all the way back to the days where they used the reed,
the wooden flute,
the bamboo, or the mm-hmm. seashell. Then it later on developed flute. Flute is part of what we call the aerophones, meaning instrument that you apply air to produce a sound.
Right. So now, when did the melodic, you know, recognizable melodic music start?
Well, African always had a melody, but since the culture is different, we didn't recognize the melody. I teach them the African melody. And you can hear it in African Caribbean music, Mongo Samaria, mm-hmm. Afro Blue. You can hear, Duke Ellington was always aware of that melodic sound in African related music.
What was it as opposed to, say, European? Was it?
Well, sometimes the melodic line is long and short. It just don't fit the pattern. Or the structure of the European music.
So the meter is different.
Oh, yeah, the meter.
So this was incorporated into the slave songs, and which mm-hmm. ultimately became the jazz.
Yeah. The slave songs also incorporated in the blues. The blues is one of the things that I teach because of the African expression in the blues, but only in English. But if you can hear some of the...
Is it like that lowered third, the minor third and stuff like that, the blue note?
Yeah, the blue note. And also the quick note, I call quick note, is I'm talking about the 16th.
Like a syncopation, mm-hmm. yeah, which where they delay the beat?
Yeah, we call space syncopation.
Okay.
Yeah, this is all part of the roots of African-American music, which led to jazz. And I teach the art of listening, and they have to recognize the instruments. But I like to teach the art of listening because a lot of people hear, but they don't listen.
Well, I was just going to say, that's really an art to listen, even mm-hmm. to people speaking, because you say things people just don't hear. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're so inundated. What do you think about the music today? For instance, something like hip-hop. Is mm-hmm. that an outgrowth of...
Hip hop is the outgrowth of blues. People don't know that if they listen to blues, they can listen to hip hop. And rap is nothing new. It's just a commercial tag on it now. It's different. They rearrange. But hip hop, I like hip hop. I just don't like hip hop that has degrading lyrics.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I like the rhythm, but I don't like the degrading lyrics.
Now, in rap, you can hear the rhythm. It's very, very obvious. Hip-hop, it's a little bit different.
Hip-hop is more complex than the rhythm.
Yes.
Yeah. Rap is just a label on the music itself, because when I was growing up, we always used the word rap when we were, like, just recognizing the opposite sex, 14 or 15 years old, and at the party, and we got up a nerve and said, let's rap to this chick.
Okay, so then in other words, it's an improvisation, but mm-hmm. it's verbal, isn't it?
Right, it's verbal.
It's not musical.
No.
It's rhythmic.
Yeah. rap is rooted into the blues, too. And then you had some rap that I can hear the gospel influence.
So you're really talking about, is it melodic or is it rhythmic?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
So all of it has really bled into the modern music of today.
Oh, yes.
And also in classical, you get mm-hmm. very mm-hmm. big influence.
Oh, yes. Classical, the European classical music has influenced the orchestration of jazz and vice versa.
Really? Who was the first really big orchestrator that you would... kind of, you know, put as the most influential for changing sound?
He doesn't
jazz.
Get that much credit, but I always thought that William Grant Still, he was the one that, one of the first to introduce or integrate blues into a symphonic form.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. So, yes, his early work. Oh, he's a wonderful composer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
One of your favorites. You also teach something called Pan-African Studies. It's part of a community education program. What is
well,
that?
Well, it's a program that designed to get the community involved on campus. And it's been going on for, I know I have 30, going on 33 years, so it's 34 years. I was one of the first. And all the instructors and professors who, they volunteer. And we love it because we get a what we call the 8 to 80 crowd.
Right. So you have, it's not credit, but it is informational.
Yeah. And they get a certificate when they finish the course.
How long is the course?
My course is 12 weeks, spring and fall.
How do you sign up for that and where do you go for that?
The sign up for it, you could, let's see, 204. 1993.
So it's 215-204-1993.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you ask that you want to sign up for.
They'll give you a catalog because there's many courses there. I guess it's about 35 or 40, I'm guessing.
But it's community education,
yes.
Which is really wonderful.
Right.
Do you find a lot of people that are interested in music?
Oh, yes. A lot of people are interested in the music simply because what they like, but they don't understand what they like. So that's why I had to break it down to them.
That's terrific. I think that's really exciting. How did you get involved? I mean, did you always love teaching? Because I think you really do love to teach.
Yeah, what happened was I come from a big family. And when I was like 8 or 9 years old, up until about maybe 12 or 14 years, I have 6 sisters and 3 brothers, and I use them as the guinea pig. I'm the teacher. They have to listen to me.
Do you play an instrument at all?
Yeah, I used to play vibes.
Yeah. Ah, I see. Yeah. Did you ever do any professional work?
I played at different places. Some people heard me play, but I haven't played in years. The reason why, because I love history and music, and, you know, that way I couldn't do all.
When did you recognize this, that you love it so much?
Well, when I was young, my mother used to say, I rock before I walk. When I hear music, I would rock. But there was always music around the house. On Sunday was sacred. All we heard was gospel music and spiritual music.
But so it really came from your home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell the audience that Harrison, whenever I see him, has on these beautiful, what are they called?
Dashikis.
Dashikis,
yes.
But they're African fabric.
My wife makes them.
They are just beautiful. You started wearing those a long time ago.
Long time ago. One of the musicians that influenced me was Dizzy Gillespie when he wore.
He has influenced so many, many people.
Oh, yes.
I mean, classical composers. Mm-hmm. And so did Dizzy always wear? I know he wore a hat, a certain. Yeah.
Well, Diz had a different style. He wore the bebop glasses, the hat.
Right.
But he did his own research. It's in his book, To Be or Not to Bop. He did his own research. He's from South Carolina, although the family moved in South Philly here.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out that his ancestral background is Yoruba. So he was wearing the
That the African?
Yeah, that's from Nigeria, Yoruba music, which is one of the most influential music in the Western Hemisphere.
So you would say that this all came over, really, with the slaves, and then it evolved into a much more serious.
Yeah, the Africans who were captives in slavery, because I always had to correct the students. And some of the professors, they always say, you go to Africa, get slaves, you go to Africa, get human beings. And you had to, if you conquer them and then enslave them, then they become what we call a product or property. The basic rhythms and the characteristics is there, but when you're in a different environment, you sort of use the African ingredients and then change to different environment. Because a lot of times the Africans who were enslaved, especially if under the English colonialism, they outlawed the drum.
Really?
Yeah, because it gives a message.
Well, that, of course, is in the tribal, the Native Americans, too.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, that was the way they communicated. So they didn't allow the drum to be played. So they sang then.
They sang, and then they also used the body, hand bone, body and the chest, anything that
and clapping as well.
Oh, yeah,
I would
clapping.
Imagine. So
oh,
that
yeah.
would create the rhythm because you can't live without rhythm, really. Because it's really
it's
based
part of it. It's
of the
part
heartbeat.
Of your life.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That is the real.
I liked what you said, the heartbeat.
It is. It's the heartbeat. It certainly is. Well, you are the heartbeat here at Temple, Harrison. People love you. And I must say to the audience, Harrison is a very peaceful man. I have never seen you in any other way, and I'm sure that's the way you are.
I like solitude. I like to relax, and I love people.
And probably you are very, very content in what you're doing.
Oh, yes. Well, to me, it's a calling.
Now, Harrison is who's who here on WRTI, but he is also who's who in America. And you were in the 2006 edition of Who's Who, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
We just hope that you're going to continue on. I'm not going to say another 30 years, but as long as you want to
29.
Do this. Harrison Ridley, congratulations on your tenure here, and just keep going and doing what you're doing.
All right, thank you. And I just want to take time to thank all the listeners, especially those that have been with me so many years. They call, I heard you in 25 years, 30 years, you know, things like that. That made me feel
Isn't that exciting?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, you just keep doing it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks
I'll take
again.
Take you up
Harrison.
On that.
Okay.